It is really good to be here with you this morning and to be invited to speak. How many people from Yorkshire here this morning? Yeah, good crowd. Well done. Yeah. You know, they say there are three types of people in the world. There are those who are born in Yorkshire. There are those who wish they were born in Yorkshire. And there are those who have no ambition whatsoever. So it's good to be here and to have some Yorkshire support this morning. I'll just tell you very briefly a little bit about myself. I'll share more about my ministry this evening. My name's Tony. I'm from Bradford. Quick show of hands. Anybody been to Bradford? Yeah, unlucky. That's right, yeah. It's one of those places people say to me, I've been once. Yeah, and it's I have to live there. So it's not quite as nice as York. But I'm from Bradford, married to Kath. We have three children, Josh, Beth, and Joel. And Josh is getting married this year, so that's one down, two to go. Beth is at uni at Lancaster, hopefully going to see her for a while this afternoon. And Joel is doing his A-levels, so I've got a clue what day it is most of the time. Joel at 17. But the past 7 years, me and my family have been at a church in Bradford called Sunbridge Road Mission, where I was working alongside the senior pastor there. I was a pastor alongside him. But I finished that work last August, and since then I've become an itinerant missionary evangelist type person to people caught in cults. That sounds a little bit strange and everything, but one of the things that's really interesting is we spend a lot of time saying we've got to share the gospel with people, and so we should. That's the commission of the Lord Jesus. We go into all nations, and we're keen to share the gospel, and we do, but often with the uninformed, and we forget about the misinformed. There's a large group of people that they're on our street corners, knocking on our doors, that are around there that people don't really want to engage with, don't know how to talk to. So I, in my past, before I became a Christian, spent some time with Jehovah's Witnesses. And so I've got a real heart for these people and trying to help the church and equip the church through various talks and resources to engage with these people we find on our doorsteps and walking on our streets, because they are gaining converts. Like nobody's business, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses, they are so zealous for their falsehood. One of the things I often hear is people say to me, well, but you've got to admire them, they're so zealous, they put us to shame. And they do, but we've got to remember that for these guys, it's part of their salvation package. Working away, beavering away to please a God that they don't have a relationship with. They just have a religion that they follow. And they don't sing the songs like we sung this morning. I mentioned last night as I was speaking at Valley Youth about how boring it is in the Kingdom Hall. And these songs are so terrible. So when I became a Christian, to hear the songs and the kind of songs we sung this morning was just amazing. So that's my ministry, really. I go around sort of doing that kind of stuff. So if you want to know more about cults or about what I'm doing, you can have a chat with me afterwards. And I'll share with you about that. But I don't really want to talk too much about cults, particularly this morning. I'll no doubt mention them, because as my wife says, I don't think I've ever heard a message without you mentioning Jehovah's Witnesses, but I'm going to try not to mention them this morning. But we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 5 to 10. That's Proverbs 3, 5 to 10. And I'm sure these will be some familiar verses to you. So it's Proverbs 3, 5 to 10, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your hearts, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I'm sure there are some familiar words to you in those verses there, particularly the first verse I read there: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's what I would call a fridge magnet verse. Do you know what I mean? A fridge magnet. You can get verses that you stick on your fridge. That's why they're called fridge magnets, strangely. But these verses, they're familiar to us, but they're often ripped out of their context. And they're good, and God can speak to us through them and everything, but they just become that, I just know that little bit of a verse somewhere in the Bible. Well, I want to put this in some kind of context with these following verses this morning, because these verses, and particularly verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3, have been a blessing to so many people and encouraged them and strengthened them and motivated them. But I want to look what follows as well, so we can talk about that. I want to pray that this morning, as I just share from this as well, that the Lord will encourage us to live for Him and to trust in Him with all our hearts, because that's what we need to do. We need to trust. This is really important because we know that it's far easier to declare trust than it is to demonstrate trust. It's far easier to declare trust than to demonstrate trust. So we sung a song this morning, and most of us, if not all of us, will have sung it, I Surrender All. Do we really mean that when we sing that? It's interesting, we sing lots of things. Do we really mean what we're singing? Are we all willing to surrender all, everything to God? And sometimes we say we trust God, and we declare that with our mouth, but do we live it out in our life? Do we demonstrate that trust? Now, if the kids were still in this morning, you know, I've often done kids' talks and stuff like that. But one of the things, you've probably seen it before, one of the things about trust with kids, I often ask for a volunteer. And isn't it interesting that kids always volunteer before you tell them what you want them to do? So the crackers out there. So they'll say, can I have a volunteer? I'll do it. And then you say, right, just go in the building and jump off. Okay. And they're off. No, they don't ask what you want them for. They just volunteer anyway. But the kids come out and they maybe do something like this. You get them to stand like this and put their arms out. And you stand behind them and you say, I'm going to go 3, 2, 1. I want you to fall backwards and I will catch you before you hit the floor. I promise you, I will do that. So you've got this kid. If we had the kids here this morning, they'd do it. They'd stand here like this and I'd probably run right over there somewhere to pretend I'm not going to be able to catch them. You know, 3, 2, 1. And they're not convinced. They say they trust you, but they often go, have you seen them do that? Instead of just falling legs straight, they'll go like that. And often that's a little bit like us as adults as well. It's not just kids. We say we'll trust God with all our heart, but we're a bit like, is God really there? Is He really going to catch me? Is He really going to help me through this situation? We need to not just declare trust, but to demonstrate trust in our life. Last year was a special year. I don't know if you marked it in any way, but it was the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And Martin Luther, interesting guy, wouldn't agree with everything Martin Luther said, but we know from Martin Luther that he stood up for God, and he stood up for God's word. And one time he was called to an assembly before the Holy Roman Empire, and presided over by Emperor Charles V at a place called Worms in Germany. It's called the Diet of Worms. That sounds like a really disgusting way to lose weight or something, doesn't it? The Diet of Worms. And he's called to answer charges of heresy and to recant. And this is what Martin Luther said. He said, since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer without horns and without teeth. Unless I am convicted by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen. And here's this guy, Martin Luther, standing up and saying those words in front of these guys that could have put him to death. You see, he didn't just say, I do trust in God. He showed it, demonstrated it by his actions. Brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to say we trust in God, but do we demonstrate that in our lives? It's a challenge for us. Let's just dig into these verses this morning and see what it says. Verses 5 and 6, the familiar verses perhaps to us, say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So what we find here is what we might call the characteristics of trust. That's what we're going to think about through these verses. And the first thing I want us to consider this morning is this,
that we must trust him entirely. We must trust him entirely. It says here in this proverb, trust the Lord with all your heart. So we trust him entirely. You may have heard of a guy called Charles Blondin, who was a famous French tightrope walker. In 1860, he put a rope across Niagara Falls, and he walked across it and walked back. And then he did all kinds of things. He went across it on stilts, apparently, which sounds a bit scary. He went across on a bicycle with a blindfold on. Apparently, one time, he carried a little stove, and in the middle of the tightrope, he cooked something. This guy was clearly crazy. And he went back and forth. All these crowds are there. They're all whooping and cheering and everything. And then he produced a wheelbarrow. And he said to the crowd, apparently, this is how the story goes, would you believe that I could carry someone across in this wheelbarrow back and forth? They all went, yeah, you can do it. We believe you can do it. He said, fantastic. Right, who's going to volunteer? Nobody wanted to volunteer. And again, you hear a few different stories around this. One says that his manager got in it, and he pushed his manager back and forth across. See, it's interesting. Everybody believed he could do it, but they didn't want to step out and trust him to do that. They didn't trust him entirely. And maybe we find ourselves sometimes saying, well, I can trust the Lord, maybe for myself, but there are certain situations I don't know if I can trust the Lord for. My wife and all three of our kids are all diabetic, insulin-dependent diabetic. I always say about my kids, you know, I always tell people, I've got three children, and they're all diabetic. They're all born by cesarean section because they all grew really big. So the doctors want to get them out because they're growing too big. And I say, well, all three of my kids were born by cesarean section, but it's not really affected them adversely, apart from when I stop the car, they try and climb out the sunroof. But other than that, they're pretty normal kids. But when my daughter was 3 years old, and we knew she was ill, and we didn't know why, and we took her to the doctor and found out she was diabetic, and then you start having to inject your three-year-old daughter with insulin, and then you think, when she goes to nursery, and you have to trust people that they're going to know what to do if she has a hypo and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, sometimes we're a little bit like that. Lord, I trust you for me, but I don't know if I can trust you for my kids. All my kids now, they're obviously older. And remember again, when Beth, who's at university now, she went to Hungary for a year. And as a parent, you sort of like, Lord, can I trust you? Will she be okay? I don't know if you're like that. I find I can trust God very much for myself, but it's hard to trust him for other people. But maybe there are things this morning as I share these things that God's saying to you, you need to trust me for this in your life. You need to trust me for this in your life, whatever it might be. It might be you're anxious and worried about things. It might be an issue of health. It might be an issue of relationship. It might be an issue of finance. I don't know. I don't know you guys. But maybe God's saying, you need to trust me entirely with this. Give it to me. You see, trust is only really trust when it's exercised. And we do worry about things, don't we? Anybody here not worry ever about anything? Praise the Lord, you're all very normal. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. He said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Here's a question on the back of that. Is what Jesus is saying there a suggestion or a commandment? Is what he's saying, when he tells us not to worry, is it a suggestion or is it a commandment? I leave that with you to ponder upon. But we're not supposed to worry as believers and be anxious for anything, because we can trust God entirely. We shouldn't find ourselves saying, well, I trust you, God, but you can't expect me not to worry. Because Jesus says we mustn't worry. He goes on to say in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, he says to us, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So do we trust the Lord with all our hearts, as the proverb suggests? Do we trust him entirely? The second point is this: we must trust him entirely, but the second thing is this: we must also trust him exclusively. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. We've got to put our trust and our hope in him alone. We exercise trust every day, whether we realize it or not. We get in a car and we assume that we're going to be okay getting from A to B. I got up this morning at Oliver's house. They've looked after me really well last night and this morning. And Oliver's mum, Kath, gave me some breakfast, and I trusted that it wouldn't poison me. It looked like it wouldn't. It tasted very nice. But I trusted that I didn't know. When you came in this morning, how many of you checked the seat that you're sitting on to make sure it was going to hold your weight? See, because, I don't know, we've got people from Yorkshire here. Yorkshire people have a bit of a sense of humour. They might have come and sawn through one of the legs and thought, just wait till that person sits down on that seat, see them collapse on the floor. None of you, I assume, picked up your chair and checked it. You see, we exercise faith all the time. But what do we exercise faith in? What are we supposed to exercise faith in as believers? We are to exercise faith exclusively in the Lord. There's a story written of a man and his son. I'll tell it as he wrote it. He said, one day while my son Zach and I were in the country, climbing around in some cliffs, I heard a voice from above yell, "Hey, Dad, catch me." I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped and then decided to yell, "Hey, Dad." I became an instant circus act catching him. We both fell to the ground. For a moment after I caught him, I could hardly catch my breath. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation, "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" He responded with remarkable calmness and said, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could trust his father. Friends, we can trust our God entirely and exclusively. You see, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through him. And we're living in a society at the moment that wants to say, no, Christianity is maybe just one way to God. There are many roads to God. I live in Bradford, and it might surprise you to know we have a few Muslims in Bradford. Just a few, just a handful. And we have everything in Bradford. For a person like me who wants to reach out to people in cults and religions, I don't have to move out of Bradford. Everything's there. And what people want to say is, well, they're all just different roads up the mountain to God. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to get to the Father, you must come through me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And we see this stuff forced upon us time and time again in the media, don't we? You see, we need to trust the Lord exclusively because we can't trust politicians, for example. We certainly can't trust the media. I don't know if you saw this interview. I think it was on this morning. Is that this morning with Philip Schofield, Holly Willoughby? I think it was last November. We just had at our church a lady called Andrea Williams, who's one of the main people from Christian Concern. And I think it might have even been that. It was the day after. It was the day after. She was with us on the Saturday, the church on Sunday, and it was the Monday morning. And she was speaking to Philip Schofield, and she was defending a young man, a teacher from Oxford. You may have seen this. He was called Joshua Sutcliffe. And he'd been suspended from his job because he misgendered someone. Isn't that crazy? So I think he called a group of girls, girls, but within the group of girls, one of them wanted to be a he, or the other way around. I can't quite remember. Was it that way around? And so he said, girls, and for that he was suspended. What's going on? What on earth's going on in our world? But what was really sad is Andrew Williams was trying to defend him and everything. And then, like they always do in the media, they move very quickly from this idea of misgendering and transgender to, oh, what do you think about homosexuality? And Andrew Williams is sharing. And Philip Schofield was awful. I used to think he was a nice guy, Philip Schofield. He always comes across as quite nice and affable, doesn't he, on the programs you see him. But he was like, what you're saying is abhorrent, it's obnoxious, and it's medieval. And he was really nasty to them. This is the media, isn't it? This is the media we have at the moment. You're not allowed to say people are in and people are out. We're all in. We've got to accept everybody, every lifestyle, every worldview. Everything is okay. Well, no, we have to trust in the Lord exclusively. Do we trust God exclusively? When all else fails, when people let us down, do we trust God exclusively? So we must trust Him entirely. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts, and we must trust Him exclusively. It's the Lord that we have to put our trust in. But we must also trust Him exhaustively. Exhaustively, it says, in all your ways, submit to Him. In all your ways. That is, do we trust God in every single area of our life? Or do we find ourselves saying, well, I trust Him, but I don't trust Him with my health. I trust Him, but I don't trust Him with my finances. I trust Him, but I don't trust Him with my family. I trust Him, but I don't trust Him with my future. I trust Him, but, and you finish the sentence. We are told to trust Him in all our ways. We're to surrender all to Him. And in doing so, that is where we find peace. That is where we find assurance. That is where we find security. They are all to be found in Him and Him alone. These are the characteristics of trust. But there are some things that we could say are hindrances to trust, to be able to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We can be hindered by self. In verse 5, it says, lean not on your own understanding. And verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. We can be hindered in trusting God by ourselves. And the wisdom of the world around us. I was listening to Premier Christian Radio, again, sometime late last year, I can't remember exactly when. It was really fascinating listening to it, because there were these two presenters on it. I have no idea who they are. I don't listen to Premier all the time. But there were these two presenters, and they said, we're going to have a phone in. And they were talking about fake news in the world. You know, this fake news stuff. I think it started with Donald Trump, didn't he? He said, yes, that's fake news. And they said, I wonder if there's fake news within Christianity. Well, I want people to phone in. Here's the number. Tell us if you think there's any fake news within Christianity. Well, by the end of the half-hour show, I bet they wish they never thought of getting people to phone in about that. Because the first person that phoned up was a lady who said, I've got some fake news, which Christians believe. And they said, oh, what is it? And she says, evolution. It's a load of nonsense, isn't it? What a load of rubbish that is. You're going on, and I've been to hear this creationist guy, and it's all rubbish. And you could hear this presenter trying to sort of calm her down and shut her up and say, well, actually, you know, I know what you're saying, but it's not really fake news, that, is it? And she's like, it is fake news. It is. That's not what the Bible teaches. And she wasn't letting him get away with it. And it were really funny. You could just, if you'd have been in the studio, they'd have probably been sweating and everything. And it wasn't you that did it, was it? Was it you that called up? Yeah. And but she was going on, and she wasn't going to let these presenters off the hook. And I was like, good for you. Good for you. I don't know what you believe this, but I believe what the Bible says. I think evolution's fake news. It is fake news. But, you know, when you hear these Christian presenters sort of say, well, it's just one view, isn't it, you know, amongst other views. No, it's not. If you're going to believe what the Bible says, then you're not theistic evolutionist. You can't be. But it was just really funny. But again, you know, we can be hindered by self. We can be hindered by people and the world around us trying to convince us something other than what the Word of God says. Back to Martin Luther again. Martin Luther used to have this little saying. He talked about something he called that little witch. And that little witch, what he meant by that was what he called Lady Reason. Lady Reason. You see, the Reformation was a question of the authority of Scripture. It was a question of standing on the Word of God. And he says we mustn't let that little witch, Lady Reason, get in the way. Because you find people saying things like this: yes, I know what the Bible says, but I think. You hear that, don't you? You hear that from Christians. I know what the Bible says, but I think this. Or, I know what the Bible says, but we're in the 21st century now. This is Christians I'm talking about. It's not the world. And you're like, really? That's Lady Reason. You get yourself in the way of the Word of God. What does it say in the proverb here? It says, do not be wise in your own eyes and lean not in on your own understanding, but we should trust God and take Him at His word. So we can be hindered by self, but we can also be hindered by sin. By sin. In verse 7, it says, fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Again, we're living in an interesting time at the moment, aren't we, as a Christian church, where the holiness and the sovereignty of God is lost in so many things, that we end up having this really low view of God, which, very unlike the prayer we heard this morning, is a high view of God. You are sovereign. But what we do is we have a low view of God and we have a high view of self. And we fail to acknowledge our need of God. And we become self-sufficient. And when we do that, we find ourselves in danger. We believe the lie that we don't need to trust God because we can do it all by ourselves. And we're in real danger of this in the West, aren't we? Where we have all our mod cons. You know, we go to God as a last resort often. You know, well, I can go to a friend, they'll help me with that. I can go to the pastor, he'll lend me £1,000. I can go to the doctors, they'll sort me out, or whatever it is, and we come to God last. When everything else fails, we come to God, and yet we should be coming to God first. And we can be hindered by sin, because sin, by its very nature, is deceiving and deceptive. And when we sin, we need to understand that it's an affront to a holy God. And it's a slap in the face of Jesus on that cross, for He died. We all sin, we all make mistakes, but we need to know what it is and who we are before a holy God. Don't let sin blind us and make us think that we can just push it off as nothing. Don't let sin blind us and think, I can just trust in myself and I can work this out myself. And that's what I worry sometimes as well, and it's maybe just a pet peeve with me so much with some of our modern worship songs, none of the ones we sung this morning, just be pleased to know, but some of the modern worship songs that it just focuses on us rather than on God. It's not about us. It's about Him. How great Thou art. Great is Thy faithfulness. So we can be hindered by self. We can be hindered by sin. And finally, we can be hindered by stuff. In verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Stuff can hinder our relationship with God. I don't know, it's like up here so much, but I'm imagining, you know, if you go to anywhere where there's a shopping center or something, you find, particularly like Christmas time, Black Friday, it is madness. It's absolutely crazy. People think the answer to life's problems is stuff. You hear people say, I'm going for some retail therapy, and they buy all this stuff as if that's going to help them. But all that stuff can get in the way of us trusting in God alone. In the 5th century, there was a man named Irenaeus, and he determined to live a holy life. So he abandoned all the conforms of Egyptian society to follow an austere lifestyle in the desert. Yet whenever he visited the great city of Alexandria, he spent lots of time wandering through its bazaars. Asked why, he explained that his heart rejoiced at the sight of all the things he didn't need. I love that. The next time you go to a shopping center or something, you can just go and wander around, not buy anything, but say, thank you, Lord, I don't need that. And I don't need that. And I don't need that. We live in a society that's flooded with goods and gadgets, and we need to ponder the example of the desert dweller that I just spoke about. I read at Christmas time, Tesco stocked around 90,000 different items. How many of those do we actually need? We don't need that stuff. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. This idea, again, it's spoke about as the eye of a needle being a very narrow gateway in the wall in Jerusalem that is really difficult to get through. You can get camels through it. Can you imagine us sort of trying to get through with all our shopping? We just can't get through. We don't need all that baggage. We're to trust in the Lord. Stuff can get in the way. So sin can get in the way. Self can get in the way. Stuff can get in the way. We are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. And if we do that, according to this proverb, several things are promised to us. Firstly, there's the promise of refreshment. Refreshment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. And verse 8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. We can know mental, spiritual, emotional, physical refreshment when we trust in the Lord with all our hearts. There was a TV program on, again, I think it was around about last November, December sometime, by Louis Theroux. Has anybody ever watched Louis Theroux documentaries? I love Louis Theroux. He bumbles his way through things, but it's really fascinating. And he spent some time in a clinic in London treating anorexia patients. I don't know if you saw it. It was a really, really hard watch. Mainly girls that were there, young women who were just like bones walking around. And the problem they had is you listen to the medical experts, mental health experts, was their problem was in their mind. It's in their mind. They just couldn't get over the fact that they felt the way they did. And you just realized, and he said, oh, this person died, and this person died, and this one's going to die, and it was just shocking. And all the time you're watching it as a believer thinking, they need Christ. They just need Christ. You know, they need the one who can renew their mind. They need the one that can change their thinking and see their way. Because when we come to the Lord and trust in Him, He can refresh us mentally, spiritually, physically. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. And it goes on, end of verse 9, verse 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. They say that where God guides, He provides. And I'm finding that's true for me personally, and for us as a family, as I stepped out by faith, that God provides. When we give our all to God, He will provide. When we give ourselves fully in His service, He will equip. He knows what He's doing. Friends, we need to trust Him for all things. And then finally, there's the promise of guidance. The promise of guidance. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. He is able to remove obstacles from our lives. You know, maybe you've come this morning and you've come to worship, but you're hindered in worship because there's things going off in your life that's difficult to deal with. There are problems, there are obstacles in your way. We have a God who can remove obstacles. He moves mountains. He will make our path straight when we trust in Him with all our heart. He will keep us from wandering aimlessly. He will help us to live a life that's honoring to Him. So He will provide. He will guide. He wants to help us. So in conclusion, what is this proverb teaching us to do? Well, it's teaching us to trust in God, ultimately. And all these things will follow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. When we enter into a relationship with God, we agree to trust Him. And this is easier said than done. I know that. But maybe we're still in January of 2018. Maybe it's time for us to say, Lord, I'm going to trust You this year. In all my ways, with all my heart, I'm going to give everything to You. I surrender all. And You're going to watch our God move and provide and lead. Somebody wrote this. We don't know who wrote it, but I end with this. It says, trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him. He is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place to rest. Let me just pray. Father God, we want to thank you that we can trust you with all our hearts. I want to thank you, Lord. Many of us here today can testify of your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here this morning that wherever they're at in life, wherever they're at with you, I pray, Lord, there'll be a time today where they'll commit afresh to trust you again and to follow you and have you as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I pray that we'll see miracles happen because you are a miracle-making God. You can move mountains, obstacles in our way. You're the answer to all the issues that we have in our life. Lord, we seek to honor you. I pray for the fellowship here, the church in the barn, Lord. I pray that this fellowship will go from strength to strength. Not that there may be boasting in what's happening here, but rather glorifying of you, Lord Jesus. Because you're the one that gives the increase by your Spirit as you send him to minister. Draw people to this place, to these believers. May it be a beacon, a light, a ray of hope in and around this community. And Father, we just long to see people saved. So Lord, help us to share the gospel, to tell people of a wonderful salvation, a Savior who came and died on that cross, who rose again from the dead, that we might be restored to fellowship with you, Father, and have an assurance of an eternal life to come. And we thank you and praise you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.